Prepare to be astonished.
It's that time again.
Let's get started.
From the Clatsop County Historical Society, an adventure in history with Matt Burns and Alana Quila.
You should never be allowed to talk to people.
Some people without brains do an awful lot of talking.
And now, with today's adventure, it's Mac and Alana.
Hello, hello. The fireworks have ended. Or have they? Are they still going off?
They seem
to go off for like a week after.
I don't approve of the home stuff, and it just seems to keep going and going and going.
Yeah, I know. The home stuff that is like right outside the bedroom windows, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I know.
That sometimes seems like it's more substantial than the actual fireworks.
I know. Well, you can. You can buy the really big ones, but I don't know. Are you a big firework? Do you put them off?
Or I do not.
Light them off?
No,
okay.
No fireworks for me.
Oh, there we go. Okay.
So we're all unified.
I know. We are. Oh, this
all
is
right.
A good crowd. That's Tyler Lingstad. He's the recreation manager at Astoria Parks and Rec. Thanks for being our guest today.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Aside from fireworks, we'll talk about a little bit more.
And we also had old-fashioned fun and games.
Yes. So no fireworks there.
No fireworks there, but lots of fun.
I'm sure.
And
yes.
Games.
Yes.
So always a good time, and always a thank you to our longtime sponsor, Columbia Memorial Hospital. We always appreciate that. But, you know, we got a few things coming up. The centennial of our beloved Astoria column.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to celebrate on the Saturday the 18th. That's not the actual birthday. But there'll be downtown on kind of the Sunday Market footprint, a community celebration, free food,
free
entertainment, all kinds of booths, organizations talking about what they do, what makes Astoria wonderful.
Yeah.
What makes Clatsop County wonderful.
I love it.
And then we're going to rededicate the column up at the column at 2:00.
Okay. So, and you can listen live on our favorite radio station.
You can. And there'll also be buses to get people up there because the road will be closed because we don't want a million people can't park up there at once.
Or you can walk from the college.
You can always walk from the college. It's a wonderful little trail.
Yes.
So not very far. You can walk all the way from, you know, the entire cathedral trail.
Gosh.
But if you just want to park at the parking lot at the college, you can walk up. It's
I prefer the walk down. The walk up is a little.
Yes.
It's like I'm never doing the column after if I get up there.
It is a long combination. Like, yes. And then on the actual birthday, July 22nd, Wednesday, we have got an event at the Liberty Theater. We'll have some cake. We'll have some things we're going to show, and then a keynote address from Zachary Stocks.
Oh, I love that.
He, on his side, he loves railroad history, and he's researched all about the Great Northern Railroad and the actual trip that came out to dedicate it, July 22nd, 1926.
Oh, cool.
So it's a great talk.
Yeah, he's a great speaker.
Yeah. Okay, but somebody else who's great and we should give plenty of time to, so let's get through the history highlights as fast as we can.
Let's do it.
I do have a quiz, though, the first one.
Oh, are you ready for history quizzes? Yeah.
Do my best.
Tyler's like, you didn't tell me this.
What year in Annapolis, Maryland, the U.S. Naval Academy admits women for the first time in its history with the induction of 81 female midshipmen? What year? And you're going to be appalled.
Oh, I'm going to say like 1990.
1985.
Wow. See, you both guessed that because I said you're going to be appalled.
Well.
1976.
Yeah, I believe it.
It feels like it should be 1950s.
I mean, when we talk
40s.
About a man's club,
yeah,
that's a pretty historic one.
But what's interesting, I didn't write this down, so I might have it wrong. But of course, you know, the first graduates are 4 years later.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's just like 5 years later that a woman is the head of the class, top of the class.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. But July 6th, these are things that happen tomorrow. 1189, Richard the Lionheart is crowned King of England. So this might be like the Mandela effect. Did you think Richard the Lionheart or Richard the Lionhearted?
I don't know.
You don't care. You don't care either. All right. 1776, the American Declaration of Independence is announced on the front page of the PA Evening Gazette.
I love it.
2 days later.
Right, yeah. Always takes a little while,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. 1785, Continental Congress sets the dollar as the official U.S. currency.
Okay.
I like the dollar.
Yes, sure.
All right. 1921, Sergeant Stubby, a bull terrier mutt, receives a gold medal from America's World War I commanding general John Pershing for, quote, heroism of the highest caliber in 17 battles. Among his heroic deeds, catching a German spy by biting his legs.
Wow. How do you train a dog to do that?
How to know that he's a spy.
Right. Are they sure they got that one right?
Sergeant Stubby.
Okay.
I wonder if he can give orders to like a corporal. Bark at him.
Go, I was wondering where that was going.
Rub my tummy.
Reading that.
I just like Sergeant Stubby. 1942. This is almost going to be the history highlight. 1942. Anne Frank's family takes refuge in a secret sealed off area of an Amsterdam warehouse.
Yeah.
I assume you've read the diary.
Oh, of course.
Yes. I assume you've read the diary.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
I have not.
Okay. See, I kind of respect that because I always feel, I mean, yes, it's brilliant. It's sad. It's poignant. It's, you just fall in love with this little girl. But I always feel like it's such an invasion of privacy.
Oh, yeah.
We're all reading her diary. It's Diaries true. Are supposed to be secret. She didn't want us all reading her diary.
That's true. But thankfully, she was also a young child, so it wasn't, I mean, it was just very poignant, right?
Well,
I mean, it
was. She also has feelings.
She does.
She shares. So thank you for respecting this little girl's privacy. All right. But yes, I've read it. 1946, Sylvester Stallone is born. I don't know if we, do we care?
No.
Okay, we don't care.
You don't ever bring up birthdays.
Oh, I do sometimes.
And you
especially if you thought
Stallone was worthy.
Well, I thought maybe.
Mark would be proud. Yes, okay. Mark would say yes.
Somebody would.
He would.
Adrian. 2016, Pokemon Go, the real world mobile game, is first released. Now, were you, your kids are probably too young.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, see, my kids were all over this. Pokemon Go?
Never played.
No, okay. But I was at the chamber at the time, mm-hmm. and I remember because it, I mean, it was something that people came into the chamber and they asked for help getting
they're everywhere.
Things.
Yeah, you just like wave your phone and you see them and you like capture them. And so, yeah, it was kind of a big deal.
I want to even say, I think the chamber even put some there.
Maybe. Like
there's a way to do it where you can.
Yeah. But the history highlight of the day, and I am open to debate on this one, 1957. John Lennon meets Paul McCartney for the first time.
Ooh. And is that the creation of the Beatles or would have happened?
It leads to it, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. John Pretty. And the Quarrymen are given a concert and Paul comes to it and a mutual friend introduces them and they instantly start hanging out and playing together.
I don't know. I would have to say my only argument would be for the Anne Frank of moving into that family's home.
Pretty. See, if it was the day that she got the diary...
Oh,
I would probably put that one above.
Which we don't know. Yeah.
Oh, we do. Because I know we've actually announced it on it's been a history highlight before.
The day she got the diary. Because she writes
her
in.
Her first entry.
Okay.
Yeah. Which I think is the day she gets it.
All right. So okay.
But yes, I would be open to that debate.
But yes, the Beatles. We love the Beatles. And yes, very influential in music.
And you just ruined it. I was going to say, and you know who else is influential?
Tyler Lingstad.
See, how do you like that? I just compared you to the Beatles.
Thank you very much.
Yes. Well, welcome. We're so glad to have you here. You are the recreation manager from Astoria Parks and Rec, which is how I knew your name and your email so I could harass you and ask you to be on the show because I get a lot of emails from him, as do all the parents in Clatsop County. Well, not all of Clatsop County, but Astoria and beyond. If our kids do rec sports.
Maybe he's just emailing you.
Yeah, it could be over and over. Have you signed up your kid yet? No, I'm sorry. Yes. So thanks for joining us. But let's start to learn a little bit about you.
Yeah.
Where are you from? Are you from the area or did you move here?
I am. I'm from Astoria, born and raised, and graduated from Astoria High School. Right after high school, I was going to play football and baseball at Western Oregon. Tore my patella tendon in my senior year playing football. And so senior year baseball was unfortunately not what we wanted it to be, what I wanted it to be. So Western Oregon was not really an option. So I played baseball at Lower Columbia College just for a little bit and then had to come home and have knee surgery. And so did that, went to Clatsop for a little bit and then got a job at the school district. And I worked in the consortium room with our special needs students and loved that. I was there for 3 or 4 years and then ended up going to the high school and I was the ninth grade success coordinator or on track coach. And then I happened to volunteer to coach a flag football team for the Parks Department.
That's how they get you.
Yeah. And Leroy Woodrich, he was the recreation coordinator for the Parks Department. And he was leaving. He got a new job, or they were moving out of Astoria. And he was like, you'd be great. So I emailed the Parks Director, Jonah, at the time, and told him I was super interested and applied, and ended up, a couple interviews and got the job there, and have loved it since.
So how long have you been there?
So I've been with the Parks Department for like 4.5 years, and I was the recreation coordinator for like a year and a half of that, and then I became the supervisor for the department.
Okay, so back up a bit. So what did your parents do?
When I was little, my mom was stay at home. She, was a server a little bit here and there. And my dad works on tugboats. He worked for Foss Maritime, and now he works for Shaver.
Awesome.
And then when my parents split up when I was, I think, third grade, and my mom worked at Costco and bartended in the evenings, and now she does not work. She is remarried, and my dad's still working for Shaver.
Okay. Nice.
So you were in high school, you were playing football and baseball. Did you do things with Parks and Rec as a kid? Were you in Little League or other activities that they offered, and which ones, and what did you like about them?
Yeah, so I actually went to Napa kindergarten, first, and second grade. So most of the little baseball stuff I did out there. And when I was a kid, Parks Department did not have basketball for the kindergarten through third grade. It was just 4, 5, and 6, the older group. So I did play Parks and Rec basketball. But it seems like there's a lot more programs now than there were when I was a kid. So I played t-ball and baseball out in Napa, and then basketball for the Parks Department.
And t-ball is something to watch, truly. If you haven't been to a t-ball game, I mean, it's not like baseball, right? I mean, right. The point of the game
sort of like
is specifically to get the kids to run in the correct direction and to get that person, that's whoever the player is, on the mound to throw to first base. And that's basically it.
Yep.
Those two things, run in the right direction, throw to first.
So my
maybe hit the ball.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
So my t-ball story, my son, when we were playing Napa, the parents were like, Napa's so rough, I don't want to go. So we only had we didn't know any better. So there were like 5 kids total on our team that went. And the Napa coaches, wow, they were rough. the little kid, because there's only 5 on our team. So the kid hits it out of the infield. Keep running, keep running. Just stop at second. Come on, let it go.
They can only run one base now.
Yeah, we've tightened up the rules.
And I was like, yeah, I get it now. After we came home, like, they take it seriously.
Yeah, it is pretty
versus
fun.
Versus my kid who's out like picking flowers in the outfield, not paying attention.
It is fun. So when you were just kind of, trying to figure out what you were going to do, and you went and worked in the schools, did you know then that you did want to keep working with kids or keep working in that sort of capacity?
Yeah. So when I was like a senior in high school, I really decided that I wanted to be in education. I loved working at the school. I loved working with kids. I loved coaching. I coached football and baseball at the high school, and I really enjoyed that. But I just had such a good experience at Astoria and had some of the most fantastic teachers and coaches. And I was like, I wanted to be them. So I think, pretty early I knew right away I wanted to do that. And this other opportunity opened up with the Parks Department, but it's a lot of it is very similar. Like, we have our after school program, our summer program. I was just there earlier this morning. We have 72 kids in that program this year. So my highlight of my day is always getting to go over there and hang out with all the kids.
It was pretty fun.
So who was your high school baseball coach?
I played for Dave Gasser.
Okay, I wondered. Yeah,
Oregon legend.
Yes. So talk a little bit about him, and what did you learn? I mean, you said, I wanted to be my coaches. So what was it about him that had an impression on you?
I will say Coach Gasser was the best motivator and got more out of his players than any coach I had ever been around. And I think it was really because he was He was so organized. He was so intelligent. And he had really high expectations. And I think, you know, especially for young men right now, somebody having high expectations for them, is a really good thing. And he cared so much about the kids. But he would be the first person to tell you when you were doing something that you weren't supposed to be doing. Right. But he just got the most out of, everybody that played for him.
And what position did you play?
I'm left-handed. I was a pitcher and I played, first base.
All right.
Pretty good spots.
Yeah.
So tell us, what you like to do in your off time.
Yeah. So, I love spending time with my family and, our five dogs.
Oh my goodness.
So we have a bunch of dogs.
It's a herd.
And I love, coaching my stepson's baseball team, and coached youth football also. But for me personally, anytime I get a chance, I love playing pickleball. And unfortunately I don't have enough time to play, but I do really enjoy playing pickleball.
Interesting. Yeah. Pickleball is becoming pretty popular.
Yeah. So,
and we have lots of courts now.
We do too. Yeah. Lindstrom Park, you know, has completely been redone. It's beautiful, and the pickleball courts are very, very popular. But just short, funny story about pickleball. When I first got at the Parks Department, I remember we were getting some, you know, requests for pickleball. This was before we had the courts and stuff. And I was talking to Jonah, and we were like, oh my gosh, these pickleball people, they're killing us. And I met a guy, Meyer Freeman, who's just very into pickleball. And I was like, all right, we'll try something. So I brought me and my staff up there, and he gave us a lesson. And I was like, whoa, this is great. I mean, I can't believe we, you know, we were like, oh, these pickleball people. And then Jonah and I both, him and I played quite a bit together. We played in some tournaments, and we're like, oh, I guess we maybe
you
should
are
have been
the people.
Yes. So
so it's not a fad.
Yeah. No, it is. Pickleball is great. If you haven't tried it, definitely recommend.
And the biggest difference between pickleball and tennis is, it's a smaller court.
Yes. And then the ball, it's like, so pickleball is a very hard wiffle ball, pretty much.
Okay.
And paddles are, you know, you have a paddle, not a, I don't really know
racket.
Anything about tennis, but
Is it safe to call it wiffle tennis?
Yeah, there you go. That'd be a great.
I think they just didn't want to call it that.
I do wonder, like, if it will be a fad or not. I mean, because it is, we are taking tennis. Tennis is a very historic game, been around for centuries.
Mm-hmm.
And will this last, right?
I'm going to show my age, like racquetball in the 80s.
Right.
Is racquetball still a thing at all, really?
I don't know anybody that plays racquetball. I don't know where you could play racquetball.
Or handball, even, in the same courts and gyms. So, I mean, I think it was, I would classify it as a fad because I don't think it still is popular. There may be still courts somewhere, but I think it was like less than a 10-year thing.
Could be.
It would be my guess.
Yeah.
So when are we going to get
pickleball, you know, another 5 or 10 years and maybe then we decide it's for real?
Yeah.
You do pickleball tournaments, but when are you going to get the pickleball teams?
I know. We definitely need to do some pickleball teams. Maybe talk to Meyer about that and see how we can do it.
I mean, do you need a lot more courts? Would you, I mean, how do you make something like that work?
Well, we have 4. And so, and then the tennis courts also, we have lines painted and we have portable nets. So we got 6. And then there's a brand new indoor facility that's just about to open out in Jeffers Garden area there, across from like the bus, next to the bus barn. So I think we would have enough courts.
Interesting.
So how do you judge, and I don't think I'm going to answer my own question, then you can tell me if I'm answering it wrong. How do you judge the success of, you have a tennis court somewhere, you have a pickleball court somewhere, you're not staffing it because it's a park?
Yeah.
How do you judge how often it's used or if it's being used enough to warrant having it?
I would say that the nice thing about being in a small community like this is it's a super easy, quick trip up there. And we are constantly going to parks. And actually, my mother-in-law lives across the street. And
so she would tell you.
So I see it pretty often. But every time I drive by, it's been pretty packed, especially when the sun comes out.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
So talk about some of the programs that you've been involved in with Parks and Rec or that you're particularly excited by, some of the good work that you do.
Yeah. So one of the programs that I am the most excited for, and we were just talking about T-ball, and just trying to teach kids which direction to run, but we are something that was really important to me for the Parks Department is to try to serve all ages. And when I first got here, we had no adult sports. We had very few youth ones. COVID kind of, you know, killed some of that. And so we've been slowly trying to add those. And my goal was to start with the kids' sports first, and then we'll try to add some adult stuff. So we have added some adult program, but one of the ones I'm most excited for is a Sports for Tots program. Our 3 and 4 year olds. I feel like we have a lot of 3 and 4 year olds with yes. nothing to do. Swim lessons fills up so quickly. There's only right. so much for them to do. So we just kind of released a Sports for Tots program. And the first one is T-ball, and we'll use foam balls and plastic bats, and we'll teach them how to, you know, just kind of introducing it to them, and doing lots of fun games, learning to share and, you know, right. teamwork. And so we're going to end up doing 3 sessions. We're going to do T-ball, basketball, and then we're going to introduce soccer. And I think within like 3 or 4 days, we are pretty much full. As soon as we open registration, it's just, I think people are really excited about it, and I am too.
I think it was fabulous. I don't have a 3 or 4 year old anymore, mm-hmm. but it's also indoors.
Yes, it's all indoors.
Which I thought too. So then you don't have to worry about the weather, but you're right. So 3 and 4 year olds, a lot of them are in preschool. So a lot of them are sitting down like regular school. And to be able to get them to do something active and fun, and kind of cue them up, because it's that's the thing too for like second siblings. They get to watch, right? Oh yeah, we get to go to practice again. And they just want to do. They want to do the things. So I think that it's going to be very popular.
Yeah, I'm very excited for it. And we have a fantastic recreation staff that are really looking forward to it too.
That's what I was going
to
ask. Is this run by paid staff, or they're volunteers, or a mix?
Yeah, so this program in particular will be ran by staff, but because of their ages, we are having a requirement that there's parent participation in this one. But this is actually one of our few programs that we use, you know, only paid staff for. Most of our programs are ran, you know, if we didn't have volunteers, we couldn't have them. And we are so lucky to have the best volunteers for all of our sports.
You guys provide all the coordination, all the tools. Beyond the minimal fee, everything's provided, which is really nice for kids too.
Yeah.
And you don't have to live in Astoria city limits to participate.
That's correct.
This is open to anyone in Clatsop County.
Yeah. And something that is kind of interesting, you know, we do, you know, manage all of the Astoria sports, but we also run the leagues for Napa, Seaside, Warrenton, Iwako and Nacelle. So we coordinate the whole league. So we make all of the schedules.
I have no idea you did that.
Yes. Yeah, that's big.
That's very generous too.
And don't know if you have the stats or not, and this may be a Jonah question, but how many parks are there that you have to take care of? How much staff is there? Because I don't think people quite understand.
Yeah.
What a big operation and big responsibility, including like the cemetery even.
Right. I mean, the cemetery that's not even in Astoria.
Yeah.
You know, I do not know the number of parks off the top of my head, but I want to say it's close to 20, maybe more. More, I think. We have 6 full-time maintenance staff. But when I first got here, I think we had 3. Oh. And you know, all of our baseball fields too. We forget about that. And especially during our baseball, softball, T-ball schedules. I mean, they're dragging and lining and mowing these fields all day. And then we have all of these other parks to take care of.
And how many kids of all ages, because you know, people swim at the aquatic center, you've mm-hmm. got things for seniors. So how many people do you think the parks impacts directly? Not just I drive past, I see a nice park. That impacts me, but actually participating in programs.
Yeah, just participating in programs. I mean, we have thousands of kids that participate in our recreation programs, not including swim lessons. And I think we have, you know, somewhere between 40 and 60,000 visitors at the Aquatic Center a year.
Oh my goodness, I had no idea.
Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
They just stop in to go swimming?
Or get a little lift in or showers. You know, we just have $3 showers. So,
Oh, that's I would never have thought it was that high of a number.
Doesn't like the peninsula send people over here because they had a grant and they didn't want to pay to build their own pool, so they
the Oler Trust
funded everyone
yeah.
from over there to come over here to swim, learn to swim.
Oh, I love that. Well, and I do love the partnership between Astoria School District and the pool because they do provide free swim lessons for all fourth graders, mm-hmm. Which was just fabulous. And even in my daughter Carly's class this year, there were four kids in just her little class of like 18 kids that couldn't swim at all.
Yeah.
And by the end of the week, because it's pretty intensive for the kids that are actually learning, they could swim. They did. I mean,
in a week. That's crazy.
Isn't it amazing? Again, like for those four kids, they had to really work. Yeah. My daughter got to play. She got to swim a lot of laps.
And this, you know, so important being surrounded by water.
Surrounded, yes. Yeah. And it's free. I mean, and really like low barrier too because it's fun, right? It's made fun because you're all your peers are there too. So, yeah, I love that.
Okay, so maybe like asking your favorite child, but what's your favorite park and what is your favorite program that the parks does?
My favorite park is Lindstrom. And I just love all the updates. And my favorite program is probably our softball and t-ball season. I'm a big baseball fan, love it. But I think I'm going to be most excited for our Sports for Tots program. But I love our after school program. We'll say child care is not all program. Yeah.
Of course. So I know it's an unfair question.
Yeah.
All right. Cause I am a baseball person. Favorite team.
I'm a Yankees fan.
Wow. Yeah. I expected Seattle.
Oh,
okay. So how did Yankees happen if you're a hometown guy here?
Yeah. Well, actually, I just was like huge Derek Jeter fan and, you know, the year I was born, the Yankees, 1998, they were the, you know, I kind of think 1998 was like the dream team Yankees program. So
it's the worst thing that ever happened to the Yankees, Joe Torre and Derek Jeter, because they're both nice guys and likable, and they suddenly made the Yankees likable.
Oh. That's so funny. Because you are a...
I'm a Mets fan.
Mets fan, of course.
I'm embarrassed. Yeah. I'm embarrassed to say it this year and last year.
Yeah. Oh, well. So what are the things, what's going to keep you here in this area? Or do you see yourself moving to another community?
You know, I don't think so. I love Astoria. And I think it's a fantastic place to raise a family and to live. And I honestly can't see myself living anywhere else.
Well, that's great. Well, thank you. We appreciate it so much. Max has one more question. So what's the one more question?
No, I was saying one more minute.
I know, but one more minute for one more question.
I was trying to get you to ask a question.
I know.
Because you asked the ending question.
I did.
So if somebody wants to get involved or learn about programs, how do we do that?
Volunteer.
Yeah, check out our website. Absolutely. You can email me or any of our staff, and then I'll just throw it out there while we have some movies in the park.
Oh, yes.
Coming up, summer activities. If I can find the dates. Oh, movies in the park. So July 31st and August 14th, we'll do movies in the park at Lindstrom.
Do you have the movie picked out yet?
We don't. Oh. And there's a survey on Facebook right now. We had a ton of responses, but definitely fill that out. And
you get to vote.
And vote, yes.
Right? Yeah.
Yep. So pretty exciting stuff there. And then pickleball tournaments, 3-on-3 basketball tournament this summer. And
What's the website? How do we find it?
AstoriaParks.com.
That's easy.
Great.
And can I still buy a Parks and Rec shirt?
You can. We have pink ones right now. Stop by and grab one.
I love
those. Parks and Recs.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
With
that,
the W.
Yeah. That made me laugh that you guys embrace that.
Yes.
And, all right. Well, thank you. You do so much for the community. And there's lots of kids that are going to have great memories because of the programs that you're running. So we appreciate it. Thanks for listening. Go make some history. And we will catch you next week.
Thank you for joining us for An Adventure in History. An Adventure in History is created and produced by the Clatsop County Historical Society and brought to you by KMUN.
This is KMUN Astoria, KTCB Tillamook, and streaming live on the web at kmun.org.